It is your man, Artful Dodger. Welcome to the Long Boxing While Black podcast, Blurred Gang Joint. On today's episode, we're going to do another Blurting Wild Dad. This one is talking about food wars, the very specific food war that parents with children at home are encountering right now. This one's going to be a little bit more lighthearted. I will get to you guys after the intro. Peace. So, for the parents, and I've done a podcast about this specifically before, our kids are home because we don't trust any of this nonsense. We don't trust what our local government is really saying about it. We're kind of looking at the national numbers, and we decided that we're going to keep our kids home for at least the first semester and see how things play out next semester. And so we're taking the school up on this remote learning option, and it's looking like we may not have much of an option coming up here, because it's either going to be going full homeschool or sending them back, because our school, it doesn't look like they're going to renew the remote learning option. We gonna see what this flu season brings around, because I think we might see some energy change here. Now, food wars. I know that food wars is kind of a double entendre. We have the food wars anime that my wife and I have been watching on Adult Swim or Toonami, whatever you want to call it. That ain't the food wars we're talking about right now. I'm going to speak on behalf of the parents with kids that are home right now. There are a few things that spike your stress, like snack time, when it comes to these children. I don't know what it is, but I think that they're almost determined to snack us to death. Can I have a snack? Can I have a snack? Can I have a snack? And it's not like it's an abundance of snacks, but it does add up. And typically during the school year, they have their midday snacks. We'll pack stuff like pretzels or cheese sticks or, almonds or something for them to eat during the school day. It's a different beast when they're at home. And we got through the summer. We're sitting there like, man, school comes back, man. We can't wait to send them home. Because, that's a natural break in your food budget. If you plan out expenses like we do, having kids home during the summer is an expense. It drags out. It adds up really quick, because now you got to plan two additional meals, one or two additional meals, depending on if your kids eat breakfast at home or if they eat it at school, and budget in snacks. And it's a strain on a budget. And one of the weird things that we ran into is we didn't know that these little people, it's weird because they both started going through a growth spurt. It's wild because, we're used to our kids going through growth spurts and eating more. Like, when my daughter is ready for a growth spurt, what we'll see is it's milk and peanut butter. Like, she starts voraciously eating milk and peanut butter. And then she'll prop, at the end of a couple of weeks, she's an inch taller. And that's kind of how it's been going. But the kids have been in a continual growth spurt through the entire summer. And so we found our food resources getting stretched, getting taxed in a way that we weren't expecting. And then with having to do the remote learning, now we have to provide additional meals during the day. And the school has been fantastic with helping parents out with providing meal options for parents that are used to their kids being at school. And so we can go and pick up, a week's worth of lunches, and that helps out. But what it doesn't help out with is the snacking piece of it. And I think that is one of the most difficult and challenging aspects of dealing with this. It's such a weird thing. Kids sit around and they're like, well, I'm bored. Can I have a snack? And so we find ourselves doing a lot of teaching about being bored versus being hungry, or being thirsty versus being hungry, and making smarter snack choices. One of the things that we did and that we rolled out to help out with offset the cost of this snack thing is, we had to sit down, my wife and I sat down, and we figured out a plan. And my wife is the brains behind the operation, and she's the one that has a kind of instinctive knack for finance, and that helps her out in her field as a financial planner. And, you know, we came up with a couple of different options that we rolled out. And the one we'll expand on here, I'll tell you after the break. The one we kind of landed on, the one that's been really helping out, is marrying a money-based system with a chore-based system to give kids the opportunity to earn their snacks. Because initially we tried, you know, well, we'll allow you to eat, you know, as many healthy snacks as you want, and then the sweet snacks are going to cost money. And that instantly turned into an entire carton of strawberries gone within a day. So, and I don't know if kids, it's weird. I don't think kids have that thing that adults have where you're sitting there eating something and you're like, ooh, I'm getting full. I don't know if they have that, that doesn't register until they're sick or whatever it is, but I haven't seen two small people put away this much food ever. It is an odd thing. So anyway, when we get back from the break, I will kind of lay out what we did in order to get on top of this snack thing and make the kids have some buy-in into helping out around the house, because it goes into a larger topic of conversation about structuring and scheduling that this is going to dovetail into. So we're going to take a quick pause for the cause, and I will come back and explain the system that we came up with. My wife came up with this system after us kind of figuring out, okay, the kids are at home. We need to have some kind of structure. And one of the things that we found is our kids are actually motivated by earning things, as are most kids. If you create rewards that are easily scalable, that are predictable, and don't require a ton of resources for you to access, it's not really that difficult to come up with a rewards-based system. So with that being said, sorry, I had to field a question from a little person. With that being said, we created a system that is a reward system for participating in things around the house and doing things around the house. Because the other side is, we're trying to teach them the importance of, you know, contributing to a house. And I know a lot of parents start building this in when they were younger. We didn't. We kind of had a little bit more unstructured, but now we're leaning more towards the structuring piece. So that's what we did. So that's what happens. So you create something that's scalable, that's predictable, replicable. It doesn't cost you a ton of resources, because a lot of parents get caught into this rewards-based system where it costs them actual money to initiate the rewards. And, you know, once the kids become used to that reward, it no longer becomes a reward for them. It becomes an expectation. And that money-based rewards can scale up really quick. So that's what the problem is, where, you know, you start paying for good grades, you start paying for chores, it can scale up fast. And it ends up costing you more in the long run. And then it ends up not becoming something that motivates the kid, but it's something that they expect. So we bought play money. We went out and got some play money and created a snack menu. And each snack item costs different amounts. The unhealthier stuff is a bigger chunk of their money than the healthier stuff. And we also created a list of household things that need to be done and came up with some expectations of how they get paid. So essentially getting teeth brushed, faces washed, all the normal morning hygiene stuff, they can get paid from that. Helping taking out the trash when it's trash day, or emptying the dishwasher when it's their day to empty the dishwasher, or vacuuming the floor. That, you know, they get paid for that kind of stuff. And we kind of set the prices. And if there's any bonus stuff that, you know, because a lot of times parents know what this is about. Sometimes there are things that you don't have time to get to that's perfectly within the wheelhouse and ability of a child to handle. And so you'll ask them to do that. And so we'll ask them, and then we'll negotiate a price point. And if they are being intractable or don't want to negotiate the price point, then it becomes less of something they're getting compensated for than a direct instruction that they're going to do without compensation. It only took a couple of those for them to kind of learn what the expectation was. Like, if we're asking you to do something, we're being nice by offering to compensate you. But if it's something that must be done, we're coming to you asking you because, you know, we want you to help out, but we don't have to, and we don't have to do the compensation thing. And so it only took a couple times and they learned. And the negotiation piece is a piece that we're still working on, you know, coming up with a counter offer, you know, understanding what their value is, what their worth is, letting them know that, you know, you can come up with an anchoring price point as your initial price point, and then you negotiate up or down from that anchoring price point, depending on what you want to go with. So anyway, and they're grasping it, and we're having negotiations about extra chores and things like that. And we're getting, you know, kids asking, hey, we have a thing that has a bunch of like it looks like popsicle sticks, really. It's a bunch of throat depressors with chores written on them. And, you know, they can, if they need money for a snack, they can grab one out of there and complete that. And that gives them a little bit of cash, a little bit of coin. And so having them actually pay for snacks has reduced the amount of snacks flowing out of the pantry. And, you know, of course, when you have, because we got a 9 and a 10-year-old, of course, there is some subterfuge, some sneaking of snacks that we've had to address harshly from a money standpoint. We've had to fine people and things like that. But overall, it's kind of created a good way for us to keep control of snack and keep our snack budget from exploding. And so we use that when the 4th of July came around, we used that kind of concept and had them earn, you know, whatever they earned. And then we matched it and they went in on fireworks. You know, it just, you know, they earned the fake money and then we matched it with real money and they were able to buy fireworks with their own money. It's working out pretty well. But it's a system that we put in place, and, you know, it wasn't perfect at first, but we keep tweaking it and adjusting it for our specific needs. And that goes to a larger point. When these children are at home, we found that creating systems and structures help us manage the day a little bit better. You know, our routines have always been pretty solid. The kids know what time they're supposed to get up. They know what the bedtime routine is. They know that around this time, it's, you know, starting to get ready for bed and taking a shower, brushing teeth and all the other stuff. So we set those structures in place. They know weekends they get to stay up a little bit later, but weekdays is they go to bed at normal times. And so having those structures has allowed us to maintain sanity in the home. And that's the piece I do want to circle into for parents that are struggling. The reality is, if your kids are at home, having an unstructured home life is going to create chaos. You're going to see behaviors that you haven't seen before, because the kids that go to school are used to a certain specific way of doing things, and that's pretty much what school does. It kind of teaches them, at this time, this is what happens, at this time, this is what happens, at this time, this is what happens. One of the weird parts about setting a structure in your home is kids naturally rebel against it, but they desperately need it. And they need to have predictability, a level of predictability in their lives, because a lot of times, especially kids, older kids or tweens, their brains are developing and it's abject chaos inside their brain. And so having a predictable structure that's set aside for them, that works for them, helps them navigate all of the whirlwind and tempest of feelings and emotions that they're going through. And so they'll rebel against it, but they'll punish themselves and they'll punish you for not having some kind of structure in your home. You know, whether it's a schedule or something that they know, you know, the kid has to have that level of certainty. Like, at this time, this is when we eat dinner. At this time, this is when we start getting ready for bed. At this time, this is when we get up in the morning. Otherwise, you're going to see behaviors. And this comes from, I'm telling you this comes from Because you may be asking, what makes him the expert on it? And I'm not the expert. But my track record is, you know, over a decade working in a group home environment. I have a couple of facilities under my belt with hiring staff and scheduling and staffing residential facilities for young people, emergency shelters for young people, helping institute kind of a school program and things along those lines. So I have experience with creating structures for kids in school environments and in residential environments. So that's where my expertise runs. And so that's what was bleeding into. But if you don't have a structure, kids will punish you for it. And even my kids with the worst behaviors, with the most explosive behaviors, and they couldn't be placed anywhere else, the structure is the only thing that was allowed us to maintain them. Now, this isn't no rigid, dogmatic jailhouse kind of structure. This is, you get up in the morning, get dressed, eat breakfast, do your morning chores, go to school, you know, have lunch, do your homework, you know, have lunch, finish school day, come home, do your homework, start getting ready for dinner. We have dinner, evening chores, and then rec time. And you have rec time sprinkled in between the stuff that they're, when they're not working on important things. That allowed us to maintain kids that had felonies. That allowed us to maintain kids that had washed out of every other placement. You know, when a kid that would have been prison bound is taking pride in the fact that he cleans the kitchen better than the other kid, and his reward is a Snickers bar for doing a good job, and that's kind of his nightly reward, and that's how he rewards himself for having a good day. When you see the pride in a kid that was prison bound, you see the importance of that structure. And when they don't have that level of structure, when there's just abject chaos around them, it's easier for them to give into the chaos going on in their brains. And that's why I'm saying you'll see weird behaviors when you don't lay down some structure. Now, not every kid is going to act out in that very overt or very observable way, but you might start seeing other patterns of behavior that can lead to issues in adulthood. And we're talking about experimenting with different substances and things like that. And, you know, you don't want to have that level of unfocused activity. Not saying you have to overstructure your day, but the kids need to know kind of what they're doing and when they're supposed to be doing it. You know, helps with having normal sleep patterns, helps with, you know, as kids start matriculating into the workforce, or for our kids, when we start putting them in charge of elements of the businesses that we're running, having that level of structure is going to allow them to flourish and succeed, you know, in business, in life, in any educational things they want to do. My daughter is going between wanting to be a doctor that works with special needs kids and wanting to be an artist. And both of those ends, a creative person still needs a level of structure, a time where it's booked out for them to create. A doctor, of course, is going to need time. A person that's going to medical school is going to need time to study and learn. And so having that structure helps out. You know, my son wants to be a chef. He says he wants to run his own restaurant. And so he's going to have a good sense of structure and timing and things along those lines. And so it's not overparenting to insist that there is some level of structure in your home. So that's really the importance of the structure. And that's why we went with the money thing. And so I think one of the things that we do as adults is we overlay a lot of our adult hangups on our kids, especially when it comes to things of structure, because everybody kind of has their own routine that they go through. Especially if you've had any kind of normalcy in your life where you've held down a job or ran a business or did anything that was considered self-sustaining kind of behavior. You have some kind of structure, a routine, a regimen of doing things. Having kids that are just largely chaotic creates an environment where kids aren't able to thrive. And I'll explain some of the wild behaviors that I've seen when kids are left to their own devices without any structure. I'm going to take a quick pause for the cause, and then we'll get back to you. All right, y'all. So when I wanted to get back into podcasting, I wanted to find a way that would allow me to get up and running as quickly as possible. For those that don't know, I was doing podcasting for a while, and so I have an entire library, an entire catalog of podcasts that I did a couple years ago. And I'm really proud of the work that I did, but the amount of time it took to get all that stuff, upload and all that stuff, it was really creating a strain in terms of other things I was doing. And so when I decided to get back into the podcasting game, I was looking for an easier solution than the one I was currently using. And that's where Buzzsprout comes in. I'm here to tell you that since I came in, Buzzsprout has been the easiest way for me to deliver a high quality podcast to y'all. Hands down, I didn't have a lot of the barriers that I was encountering with other platform that I had been using. And so, if you're looking to get in the podcasting game, I can't recommend Buzzsprout enough. It's a great day to do your own podcast, and it's a great opportunity for you to get your voice out there, to find your audience. If it's from a business standpoint, it's a good way to market your business and really establish yourself as a brand expert. And so Buzzsprout's hands down the easiest way to launch, promote, and track a podcast. And you can be online in all the major podcast directories within minutes of posting your podcast. And so it's not hard when you have the right partners. And Buzzsprout has been a fantastic, fantastic addition to my arsenal of getting things done. The team at Buzzsprout is really passionate about helping you succeed. And you can join over 100,000 other like-minded podcasters already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world. Today is a great day to make something great. So for my loyal listeners, it'll support the program. If you're interested in getting into podcasting, I'll drop the link in the show notes so that you can get started. And one of the things Buzzsprout's doing for new people is, everybody that signs up, get a $20 Amazon gift card to get you started. So you get started with a $20 Amazon gift card. And the link's in the show notes. I'm really pulling for you. I really want you to get out there. It's an expanding market, and there's plenty of room for your voice. Let Buzzsprout be the thing that allows you to stand on stage and talk to your people, talk to your audience. So I can't recommend it enough. Get started today. Back to the program. So some of the behaviors that we've seen, I've seen professionally, when you don't have some kind of structure laid down in the house and you have this food wars kind of situation going on where the kids are allowed to just kind of roam and wander and eat whatever is available in the kitchen at any time, whenever they feel like, you start seeing other behaviors, other liberties. You start seeing them take other liberties that step on people's boundaries. I've seen, kids stealing out of boredom. I've seen kids, drug using out of boredom. I've seen kids, killing animals. I mean, that was one extreme case, and there were some other underlying things going on there. But going out and harming things or fighting people out of boredom because there is no other structure. And, the childhood brain is kind of a vat of chemical soup, and it's awash in all these other chemicals. And so kids will kind of give in to that chaotic nature. And that's what I'm talking about, engaging in a lot of behaviors that you wouldn't recognize. And here's the thing. One of the things about kids is they hit a certain age where you no longer recognize who they are. My kids haven't done that yet, and I know it's coming, and I'm telling you as a dad, I'm terrified of that, because that's when you start seeing the new problematic behaviors that you're going to have to get on top of. Having a structure in the home allows us to focus on the chaos that the child is going through without it derailing and evolving into chaos in the home. And so that's why we're big on emphasizing structure. Now, there's this thing as having your kids overstructured and overscheduled, where your kid or your child literally has no concept of what to do with free time. And that creates problems in and of itself, because we've had kids that come from that hyper over structured environment. And when they're left to their own devices, They have no concept of what to do. They don't know what a constructive use of time is, you know. And I'm not saying everything, every moment a kid has to be this enriching experience. You know, there's nothing wrong with the kid enjoying video games or sitting around working around on YouTube as long as the content isn't too crazy. But there is a point where it does kind of shift into overmanaging the kids' time, and then they have no concept of what to do with themselves. And I used to see it all the time in college. That was when we would see some of the really exotic and wild behaviors come out. Once our kids are done with our programming and have kind of left on their own and they go off into college, and the ones that where, you know, especially the ones that came from programs where they were given free time and access to make good decisions of use of time, those are the ones that were able to flourish. The ones that were overstructured, as soon as they hit college and had a little bit of freedom and downtime, whew. I won't get into any of the more exotic details, but it was some wild shit. Some of the stories I used to hear about kids that got to college and lost their minds. And I even saw it as a college student. You could always, and I always used to joke, you could tell the kids that never got out of the house or never were left to their own devices to figure out what to do with themselves. Because the moment they get a breath of freedom, they are the most out of control kids on the campus. So if you control the schedule, you can make sure that you're scheduling for the kids to have free time. Huh? You're unscheduling. Unscheduling is the concept of scheduling your free time. Making sure that you plan out time where there's nothing going on, where everybody can just kind of hang out and you can kind of be one with your thoughts. So if you want to play a video game, you can. If you want to read quietly, you can. My daughter's probably upstairs drawing right now because that's what she does in her free time. My son is probably watching a YouTube video or making some music on his iPad. And that's kind of what they do on their free time. So when you create the structure, you have the ability to control how much structured time there is. I know that there's going to be parents on here that think that the key to life is throwing a kid into a bunch of activities. I'm here to tell you that you have to balance that out, and you have to let a kid be a kid and allow them to have some self-directed time with barriers, because that's going to be the thing that teaches them how to manage their time when they get older. It's not always grim and dark and disastrous, but I've seen adults that don't know when things are quiet, they don't know what to do with themselves. And that's not a very good use of time. I mean, it's not a good adaptation is what I'm saying. If you don't know what to do with yourself in your downtime, and that's when you start seeing weird anxiety about things being quiet and people driving themselves to extremes because they can't deal with the concept of downtime. They can't deal with the concept of recreational time, you know? So for them, you say, well, why don't you go work out? Work out? Huh? You know, it's not even a thought process that comes in. You know, my downtime a lot of times is if I'm not, you know, since I'm more of a business nerd anyway, my downtime consists of listening to ebooks about business and marketing or doing podcasts. You know, when I get more comfortable with the concept of going to the gym, it used to be I was a gym rat. And that's what I did a lot of my, that's what I spent a lot of my downtime doing. But I've been used to the concept of downtime and having time that is unstructured. And I just kind of had to figure out what to do with myself. There are a lot of adults that never have developed those skills because they've had these overly structured childhood. And so they don't know how to have fun and unwind. And that comes, some of that does come from that overstructuring where they never got a chance to be alone with their thoughts and figure out what the next move is. I know specifically in my business journey, one of the things that helped me out was being able to, you know, manage my downtime and do things in my downtime that are productive in my business life and my professional life, but drawing a hard line and saying, okay, so now I'm going to do something that is unproductive, because it's okay to have unproductive days. It's okay to have hobbies that don't pay money. You don't have to, not every bit of joy in your life has to be monetized. And I think a lot of people fall into that trap in this hustle culture. So I've gone in, out, and around, and I've gone around the world in 30 days with a lot of different concepts. Here's the thing. By providing structure, by setting a routine for your kids, you know, the food wars, the way we got that under control was establishing a structure. By establishing a structure, a routine, a system in your home to manage kids' behaviors, you're going to get better control of the behaviors because it's going to be working within the frameworks of a system. And anything that goes outside the system, you adjust for it, but at least you know what to kind of predict, you know. And that helps kid development in so many different fronts. I don't think people realize how much school structures kids and gets them used to working from the concept of a routine. And I don't think people embrace how having a structure that's not overstructured, that allows kids the ability to have their free time and enjoy hobbies and things, helps grow a child from an adult, or helps a person grow from a child to an adult that can function and have free time and have healthy hobbies that aren't damaging to self or others. And it just helps a lot with function. Not having a structure allows a kid to kind of slip into the chaos of the chaos and chemical soup that's going on in their developing mind. And it kind of sets them up to be an adult that doesn't really adhere to any kind of structured environment or structured living. And it doesn't allow for them, you know, it gives a lot of difficulty when it comes to raising their own kids. And then on the other side, having an overstructured childhood doesn't give an adult the ability to use their time efficiently and to separate, you know, and to have quiet time and times of reflection and times of personal development. You know, that is one of the things that really helps, you know, that downtime allows you to develop as a person, whether it's learning new business skill or just reading something for your own enjoyment. Not every hobby that you engage in has to be monetized. Don't fall into the hustle culture mindset. And learn how to structure and say, you know, this is when I'm grinding and this is when I'm relaxing. And unfortunately, the pandemic has allowed me to have those things where things start bleeding into each other. And it's hard to stop and disconnect from the work stuff. And focus on just regular, good old-fashioned development without feeling guilty. But what I'm here to tell you is, don't feel guilty about your free time. But you have to structure your time. You have to structure your kids' time so that they can grow into adults that know how to manage free time. That's all. So hopefully I didn't lose anybody with that. It didn't get too in the weeds or too... You know how your brain can get. And so hopefully this helps out a bit. Anybody have any tips that they use for structuring their kids' time when they're at home? Go ahead and shoot them to longboxingwhileblack@gmail.com. And I would be happy to kind of read them on the air on a follow-up episode. If you have any topics for blurting while dad, shoot them my way. My experience comes from managing kids at homes, creating behavioral modification plans to address kids that have severe behavioral issues and social issues, teaching social skills along those lines. And so that's where a lot of my experience and skill come from a frontline worker all the way to the director of my own program, where I was in charge of creating and kind of really setting aside what the structure was and hiring people to enforce that structure. So that was my old world. So if you have any questions for Blurting While Dad, go ahead and shoot them to me. I appreciate you guys tuning in. And hey, this has been a fun journey. I want it to continue. Let me know if you guys want any future installments of Blurting While Dad. So that's all I got. I will holler at you guys later. Like, share, and subscribe. And let people know about what we're doing here. Eventually, I'll be looking at adding my next guest. adding a guest host, because I do want to do a follow-up to Vince Gotta Chill, now with the latest developments in WWE and stuff like that. I also have my piece that I want to do regarding depictions of policing, and so those are going to be the ones that are coming up in the immediate future. And I'm probably going to do a retrospective of Thundar the Barbarian for nerds. You may not know the connection between some legendary comic book creators and the show Thundar the Barbarian, and what made it such an incredible show that was too short-lived. And it really wasn't ready for, you know, the world wasn't really ready for it as a kid's show. But it was a dope show. Anyway, that's all I got. I'll holler at you guys later. Blurred Gang. Peace.